You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by
Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. By Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. By Arbeit Software, the best office phone system in Buffalo. And presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care.
Back here on the Extra Point Show. What are you people doing to me? I go to break without any phone calls. I look up, there's still no calls. Get on the horn right now. That's it. You have 53 minutes to talk to me. And less than that, really, because we're going to go to break at like 11:54, 11:55, as we take it to One Bills Live. And you, look, pardon the pun. My phone line should be lit up like a Christmas tree right now. That's what it should be.
Make
and
my
it's not.
Job difficult.
I'm trying to make your job more difficult. Anybody who wears a sweater like that should have their job made more difficult. Actually, I love your sweater. You're okay. Wearing an ugly Sabres sweater, but it's a beautiful Sabres sweater. It is.
It's been in my closet for like 2 years.
It's probably 25 years old, to be honest with you, but collecting some mothballs. That's okay, though. Today is the day to wear stuff like that. I'm okay. I'm totally
it's
cool
all good.
With it.
Merry Christmas, of course.
Yeah, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. There we go. See? Boom, boom, boom. Lines lighten up. That's what I love to see here on Christmas Eve. Sal Capaccio with you. It's the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. It's a Buffalo Football Monday. Couple programming notes. Well, one, really. There's no Sean McDermott meeting with the media today or the coordinators. We usually do that on Monday. It's Christmas Eve. That's not happening. We'll hear from them later this week. Coordinators will be available to the media Wednesday and Thursday, respectively, so we'll get that out of the way at that time. It is Christmas Eve for everybody, even coaches and players. So, you know, the schedule adjusts for everybody. We'll still get what we need. It just won't be today. And tomorrow's a normal Tuesday off anyway, so it works out. Christmas this year is on a Tuesday, and that's what's going to happen where, you know, players are going to be off on a Tuesday like normal on a Tuesday, but it's Christmas this year. We got to do sit up and stand down a little bit later. Got to get to my hey buddy for the week. There we go. See, I see the phone lines lighting up now. You all come in, you want to talk. And as I've said, if you get in now, you'll get your opinion and question, whatever it is, on the air. And I'll let you speak. I'll give you your time. We've had good calls this morning. Good calls. It's been a very, very nice Christmas Eve show today. All right, let's go out to, where are we going here? Mike at Amherst, start us off this hour, Mike. What's up?
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, how are you? Thanks.
Good, man. I watched the game yesterday, and, you know, I wasn't so discouraged by it. Yeah, we lost, but, you know, it was a close game. Look, Josh Allen, man. Josh Allen made a few throws. The one I'm thinking of is specifically Robert Foster. Robert Foster dropped a bomb touchdown, easy money touchdown, and that's just the sort of thing that I think Josh Allen will do is give us some big plays. You know, he's that throw and a few others away from beating these Patriots, you know. Mind you, Patriots aren't at the top of their game right now. If you ask me who I'd have going forward between Josh and Tom, I know the age disparity is kind of crazy, but I'd pick Josh.
Well, I think it's easy to take any rookie quarterback over a 41-year-old who seems like he's in decline. I don't care who you take from this rookie class. That would be probably the smarter play because you hope that guy's going to be around for 10 years when you think the other guy is going to be done within a couple.
That's right. I just think Josh is so much more ahead of where everyone thinks he might be, and that, you know, if he's making these throws in his rookie year like that our receivers are just kind of dropping. What happens next year, you know, when we get, you know, that maybe Mohamed Sanu around him that can catch the ball consistently for him?
I agree. I think that he has a lot more potential than most people probably and many people thought or realized. And I also agree that he's ahead of where people thought he'd be at this point. And if they can give him some weapons, that's the number one thing that's going to help him. He's not going to be, you know, I think one of the things that happens, Mike, is even though we say, well, his completion percentage needs to be better, people will still complain if he's not going to be in the top 10. I don't know if he'll ever be in the top 10 completion percentage, but that's not the quarterback he is. If you give him some players that can help him out with that completion percentage, the point is of him, the way he can throw, the talent he does have, and the arm he possesses, he's going to give your team lots of chances to win by making different kinds of throws than just the I'm going to make 7 out of 10 completions types of throws.
Totally agree, Sal. Totally agree. We just need to get someone in here that can make that big play for him, because ultimately I think that few big plays a game is really what's going to give us success in the future.
Yeah, they missed him yesterday. Thank you. Missed those few big plays a game. Thanks, Mike. Happy holidays to you. Let's go to Jeff in Buffalo. Hi, Jeff. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. Love your work, man. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Hey, listen, I was just going to say, I know we talked about special teams already, but every year, maybe you may have one or two mistakes. Every game we've had mistakes regarding special teams. And, you know, as I told the screener earlier, I was at the game last week before the game started. I walked in around 25 minutes to one. And our punter was warming up. He was facing the tunnel. On the left was the Lions. He was punting the ball into the Lions' sidelines. And, like, not on the goal, the out-of-bounds marker, but where the wall of where the fans meet. That's how far he was punting into their sidelines. I mean, this guy's horrible.
I don't know. I guess I'm trying to figure out. I mean, it's warm-ups. I don't know. To be honest with you, Jeff, I don't. Lots of things are happening during warm-ups. People are working on things. They're working on hang time. They're working on angles, directional kicks, things like that. So I'm not going to take anything from warm-ups. What I saw from the game, though, that they need to address that position again in this offseason.
And I don't think our punter should be our placeholder either. I mean, if you can't run a fake play with a guy who not only can't kick the ball, but probably can't throw the ball either.
Well, teams a lot of times use backup quarterbacks, and they've gone through several of those this year, too. So no matter who you put back there, it would have been a rotating position.
Right, but I think as soon as Dar started being the place hunter is when Houch started missing.
I agree that there's been some issues there, but I don't want to specifically say those have been the issues. But definitely it seems like some of the things with Steven Hauschka have coincided with that, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, I agree with you on that regard. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the phone call. I want to go back to a caller from earlier who brought up Lamar Jackson and how well he's playing and throwing the ball and rookie quarterback and can they go to the Super Bowl. And it's so funny because you look at Lamar Jackson and he's basically got Josh Allen stats. I mean, that's what he does. He's not even throwing for as many yards a lot of times as Josh Allen. He threw for over 200 yards the first time ever this weekend. Ever. He started 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games now. I think he started that Cincinnati game. He's been the regular quarterback, the number one guy, 6 times the last 6 weeks. And he broke 200 yards for the first time Saturday night. I keep wanting to say yesterday. Saturday night. And that was only 204 yards. And yet his completion percentage only one time was over 57. I mean, that's what people complain about with Josh Allen. Yet every time I turn on a news highlight station, a talk show, whatever, oh my God, Lamar Jackson, look how well he's playing. What are we comparing here? He's not even throwing the ball for as many yards as Josh Allen. He's not even running like Josh Allen did. His completion percentage is about the same. And I'm not knocking Lamar Jackson. I think he's done a fine job. That's not the point here. The point is that people see things through very different and weird prisms sometimes. Just go check out their stats and put them next to each other. And then look at who each guy has around them. And I don't think that the Ravens have a great offense, believe me. I think they have also issues they have to address, but I think it's better than what the Bills have at the skill positions, totally, overall. And it's just funny how, with Josh Allen, it's been, well, he's such an inaccurate passer, he shouldn't run as much, he's not really progressing. With Lamar Jackson, look what he's doing every week, wow! It's the same thing, it's the same guy, they have the exact same identical type of games. It's amazing. Jeremy in Williamsville. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Sal. It's actually Jimmy, but that's fine.
That's okay. I'm sorry. That is my fault. Brayton wrote it right. I read it wrong. Thank you.
No problem, man. Hey, really quick, I just wanted to build off of what you're going off. Josh Allen is viewed, you know, in the double standard. It's not fair. People talk about completion percentage. This guy, every single game, it seems like he puts 4 or 5 balls into a tight window and allows his receiver to make a play on it, and they can't follow through on it. It's tough to watch. I mean, that play against Logan Thomas yesterday, that is a contested catch.
Yep.
But it's a catch that I saw Travis Kelce make 4 times yesterday. It's a catch I saw George Kittle make numerous times. I just want to see the Bills really try to spend some money this offseason on the offensive line, give him more time, because when he has time, he's deadly. He's got that combination of arm strength and precision And then I want to see us get some weapons. It seems like Bean and McDermott have fell in love with speed, and it's great to have a guy like McKenzie. But having a guy like a Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma is even better because he's just as fast as McKenzie, if not faster, and he's got better hands. But I think the future's bright. Allen yesterday should have honestly had close to 300 yards and three touchdowns. If you look at the Foster drop because of the sun, you look at the Logan Thomas drop, you look at McKenzie's drop across the middle. I think people have to really start talking about this kid. He made some bad decisions, lofting the ball, those two interceptions. Those are touch passes that he needs to work on him, but they're also passes that he has completed before. I mean, you can look at last week with Detroit, that play at the end of the game where he lofted it to Kroom. It just seems like he's putting the team in the right places, but he's constantly let down. And I feel bad for the kid. I really do, because his numbers are not a true sign of how he's really been playing. And that's why they don't talk about him on SportsCenter.
Good call, Jimmy. I agree with a lot of what you said. Thanks.
All right.
All right. Yeah, I think that's very well put, a lot of what he said. And, you know, they're gonna get him some help. They're going to do everything they can to get him help. You can't just go and, you know, steal players from other teams, like I've said many times. It's got to be free agents, trades, guys that are available in some way. We do have some open phone lines again now. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. What do I want to do for extra point from the sidelines today? I've kind of been debating this in my head. What do I want to talk about? I know what it was. I had something in my head. I said, I got to talk about that. Extra Point from the Sidelines is brought to you by Catholic Health. Quality care that keeps you in the game. That's the right way to care. Thank you, Brayton. Always on top of things. So I've brought it up many times already. We've discussed it. But I think it's worth knowing again. I want to give you my observations of Tom Brady. I have long been a huge admirer of what he's accomplished and his talent. I mean, come on. We're in Buffalo. You're supposed to hate the guy. No. I think what he's done, to me, is the greatest. He's the greatest quarterback when you add talent and accomplishment and put it all together that I've ever seen. Yeah, could there be more talented guys? Yeah, Peyton Manning might be more talented. There hasn't been anybody more accomplished. I think when I say best, greatest of all time, I don't mean just talent, just accomplishment. I think the whole body of work to me and what he's been able to do and how he's been able to do it, it's just been incredible. For the most part, throughout his career, yes, I know he had Randy Moss, and I know he's had some nice receivers, but he pretty much has elevated the talent around him. He's been the guy. It didn't matter who they have. Doesn't matter, they got Brady. Doesn't matter who they have, who's hurt, they got Brady. And yes, he's had Gronk, I know. That's not the case now. Now they need to help Brady. Now they need to give him help. I got to tell you, yesterday, and I'm not kicking dirt on him, he might go out and throw for 300 and something yards and whatever in playoff game, and they might still go to the Super Bowl. They might have that team to do that this year. But I do think that he's a different quarterback from what I saw. I've been on the sidelines now since 2014 with the Buffalo Bills on the radio broadcast. And I've seen Brady a handful of times, as much as any other QB in the league. And he looked way different to me yesterday than he ever has. I give the Bills defense credit, of course. But I do see, to me, some deterioration in the skill set, in the timing, in the anticipation, in the sharpness, the accuracy, all of that. Yesterday, Tom Brady had one of his worst passer ratings ever of his career. In fact, he had the worst passer rating, I believe. I went back and looked last night. It was the worst passer rating he had since, I think, 2006, 12 years ago, was the last time he had a passer rating lower than 48.3 is where he was yesterday. Josh Allen didn't have a great game yesterday. He still had a better passing rating than Tom Brady. Allen was at 52.6. Brady was 48.3. Brady had, if I dare say it, a Bills quarterback type of day. He was 13 of 24 for 126 yards. And if it wasn't for Julian Edelman, his knee not touching the ground and the Bills not making sure he was down on the ground, he wouldn't have had that touchdown pass. I mean, maybe he does throw another one later in the drive. I don't know. But that was the longest play of the day for him. The 32 yards. It was a catch and run. They didn't have many big plays. They're not as explosive. That's on them, the skill guys, but I think it's on Brady, too. And that's what I saw yesterday. And it's interesting to see where they go from here. We all know Bill Belichick is not afraid to pull the plug on guys who, even superstars, highly thought of guys, who he feels don't have anything left and aren't going to help the team as much. Different dynamic with Brady because of Kraft, the relationship there, what he's meant. I think so, too. But I do think it's interesting to note and see and watch, and it was yesterday. That's our extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health, quality care that keeps you in the game. That's the right way to care. Dave up in Toronto. Hi, Dave. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, Sal. How's everything going? Listen, I've been a Bills fan since back when Joe Ferguson was playing. I'm in my 50s, and you know, I've seen a lot of good and seen a lot of bad, and I really believe in Josh Allen. I believe that, you know, he is our quarterback going forward, and I'm excited of what, you know, what can come when they actually put some guys that can catch the ball around him. And, you know, when they give him some weapons and they give him a better line in front of him, I think this kid's going to be outstanding. But, you know, when you're comparing, we're comparing Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, I know it's a little bit hypothetical. We did trade up to get Josh Allen. We traded, you know, we had to give up something to get up to get him. They got him at the last pick in the first round. So it's kind of a, you know, I mean, Lamar Jackson, I think we got the right guy is what I'm saying, but you can't really compare the number. Like, one guy was drafted, what, fourth overall, and the other guy was drafted 30th overall, 31st overall. So, I mean, would we be a different team if we held our position or traded down? Hard to say. It's all hypothetical, really, at the end of the day.
All right, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it is, and... You know, this offseason, they're going to have big assets again, high assets in the draft, top 10 type of picks, somewhere in there, depending on how they finish out here the last week, and other teams do as well. Because they do play the Miami Dolphins, so might as well focus on the next game. Brought to you by Atwal Eye Care, your vision, our focus. The Bills are taking on the Dolphins, who yesterday, they lost by 10 to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 17-7. Jacksonville, who has not been good this year, went in and just basically slapped Miami around, especially on defense, the Jacksonville defense, that is. The Miami Dolphins yesterday, 11 total first downs, less than 200 total net yards. They ran for only 62, and then Ryan Tannehill threw for only 146. Dolphins this year are going to finish second in the AFC East. The Bills can't catch them. If the Bills beat them, they'll be 7-9. If the Dolphins win, they'll be 8-8, which they perpetually are every single year, basically, somewhere in that area, just like the Bills have been for a long time as well. They also have a very big decision on their hands. Stephen Ross does, the owner, as far as the head coach, Adam Gase. Lots of people think he's on the hot seat. He could lose his job. I don't think it's been reported if he is going to be fired or stay anywhere. I haven't seen that. But I think that's still being debated. The Dolphins are going to come to Buffalo next week, and I think they're just going to get here and get out of town, and it's going to be colder for them. They're not going to the playoffs. They're probably going to be looking at some young guys. So I think the Bills have a good opportunity to win this game next week, finish the season 6-10. I'm still all about Allen. I'm still watching Josh Allen, his progression. You got one game left here to watch Josh Allen and what he can do as a rookie quarterback in Buffalo. After next week, he's no longer a rookie. Moves on to his second year. His first full offseason as a starter, obviously. But next week, 1 p.m. in Orchard Park, last game of the season. Boy, it goes quick. I remember just like yesterday, leaving for training camp. I say that every year. That's our focus on the next game, brought to you by Atwal Eye Care, your vision, our focus. Nate in New York City. Hi, Nate. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing? Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Always great to talk to you, man.
Thank you. You too.
A sort of a comment and a question, if you don't mind. So watching Josh Allen and his development, I think he had a really good game yesterday, in the sense that he was staying in the pocket, going through his reads. He made great throws, a lot of which were dropped. And I thought the receivers really made Josh look bad yesterday. That's basically my comment. I mean, he hit Isaiah McKenzie with a fastball right in the hands, and he just dropped it. And that one that Foster turned around, I guess he got it, you know, the sun in his eyes or something, but he dropped that dime in a perfect spot, and I'm really excited to see how this kid's...
And Foster beat Gilmore cleanly. You know what throw? I'll let you get to your question, Nate, in a second. You know what might have been his best throw of the day? It went a little bit unnoticed. Do you remember the fake read option, and then he pulled it out, and he hit Deontay Thompson, he drilled it on a slant?
Yes. Oh, that was to pick up a first down.
Yeah, that was going from left to right, all right? And he put it into the belly, I think, of McCoy, takes it out and just takes one step and fires it to Deontay. And I was right on the trajectory of that pass, basically where he threw that. That was a great pass. Like, that showed me the arm talent, the quick release that he can have when he knows where he wants to go with it. But that was a really nice play right there.
Yeah, I love seeing us execute the slant and sort of beating the Patriots at their own game because they have carved us up with that for years and years. The question, I was really surprised at how well New England ran the ball yesterday, but more importantly, how poorly our defense reacted and adjusted from first quarter to second quarter after the half. Did you see anything? I couldn't believe that we couldn't get our act in gear and figure out how to stop the run. They were gashing us all day.
Sean McDermott said they made some adjustments, but the adjustments didn't quite work out. I'll go back to this. It's not an excuse. I do think they miss Matt Milano. He makes a lot of plays at the line of scrimmage. He's very instinctive. He can get off blocks. He's athletic enough to shed them very quickly and take good angles. I don't think Corey Thompson is that type of player, and I think they really missed Matt Milano. The adjustment that killed me, that I can't believe they just, someone didn't do something, whether it's coaching or players, it's on the players a lot, is the jet sweep. And every time Cordarrelle Patterson's coming across the formation, I mean, why is the defensive end crashing inside and getting beat to the edge? I just couldn't understand that. But otherwise, I will say, the thing is, Nate, that bothered me, they just got blocked. They got cleanly blocked up front too many times.
Yeah. It was really disheartening to see that they couldn't either.
Agreed.
I don't know, put a spy on somebody, but I guess they were worried about getting exposed after you put a spy on somebody.
Hey, well, that's the other thing I was going to say. You hit the nail on the head there. If you commit another guy to the run, then you know that you're going to give Brady a little bit more room. Maybe you're afraid of that happening, but it was disconcerting watching the run defense yesterday.
Yeah. Well, listen, have a happy and a merry, and I'm sure I'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Nate. Thanks for always listening and tuning in and giving a call here. We'll take a timeout when we come back. Sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and your phone calls on WGR. This is Mannheim, all right? Mannheim Steamroller. I love Mannheim Steamroller. TSO's great. Mannheim Steamroller's awesome. I have Mannheim Steamroller on my iPod, on my iPhone, you know, my iPod, my music.
They're very good.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
They've been around a long time, too, by the way.
I think longer than TSO.
Yeah, I think so, too. I love God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, I think is a great tune by them.
Mm-hmm.
Deck the Halls is maybe my favorite by them. It's really good. This is a good one, too. What is this?
Joy to the World.
Joy to the World, yep, I can tell. Really good stuff. Mannheim Steamroller, TSO. You hear enough of TSO on the station, that's for darn sure. we have that a lot. Apparently, there was a report that the Jets are interested in Jim Harbaugh. I hadn't seen that. Because Chris Johnson, their chairman and CEO, literally had to come out and make a statement that says, I'll read it to you, this just came over, quote, Todd Bowles is our head coach. There is no truth to the report of our interest in Jim Harbaugh. So apparently, there was somebody reporting that they had interest in Jim Harbaugh. How would that go over in New York? Jim Harbaugh in New York, he's a different kind of cat, man. He really is. I really like him as a coach, although I think he's been disappointing in some ways at Michigan. I mean, overall, he's done a really good job, but, you know, always losing to Ohio State, maybe never getting quite to the level that, you know, people thought he'd be at Michigan. Did a great job in San Fran, and then his culture shock that he infused was great, and then it wore off after a while. I don't know how he'd do in New York. He'd be in New York, I think. I think Jim Harbaugh would be just like Rex in New York. He'd go in, he'd get that team playing at a pretty high level for a couple years, and then it wears off after a while. That's kind of the guy he is. He's got a good football mind. He's a different dude, man. He really is. So we'll see. I think Todd Bowles is going to be done after next week, though. So could Adam Gase. Adam Gase coming to Buffalo next week. Miami Dolphins, he could be out of a job, too. We'll see. Shouldn't be any changes like that coming in Buffalo. We'll see about coaching staff changes. Those always happen at the end of the year, but we'll hear from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott sometime, I think next week. Usually they do that after the season. They'll address some things, and then changes are usually made after they do evaluations, coaching staff. Some guys go in, some guys come out. Players, free agency in March. Schedule comes out in April. We'll know next week who the Bills are playing in the 2019 schedule for sure. They are locked into most of their games except for two of them, and those only two games can really wound up being now either Indy or Tennessee, one of those at that, and most likely Denver coming home. So I think only one team really is set because, yeah, the Bills could finish in fourth, but it looks like they're almost locked into third the way things are going to fall, which means Denver is going to come to Buffalo next year, and the Bills are either going to go to Tennessee or Indy. Whoever loses that game next week finishes in the spot where the Bills would travel to. Also, the Bills will travel to Pittsburgh and Cleveland next year. We know that. They'll get Baltimore and Cincy at home. playing the entire AFC North. They'll also travel to Dallas and the Giants next year in the NFC East, and they'll get Philly and Washington at home. So there's your 2019 schedule. Greg in Toronto, where the Bills used to play some games. What's up, man?
Happy holidays, Sal.
You too. Thank you.
So, I heard you earlier saying, you know, you're hoping that they beat Miami. Don't we really want to have them lose Miami?
Who said we hope they beat Miami? I don't think those words came out of my mouth, but sure, anytime you hit the field, you want to win. Okay, you want them to lose. I get it. For a draft pick. Okay.
Yeah, and then would they turn around and
I don't personally hope they lose. I don't, you know, I mean, they're going to go out and they're going to try win. I hope Josh Allen looks good. That's what I'm worried about. I want Josh Allen to keep progressing.
Yes, absolutely. And all I care is that his stat line looks good and that his, you know, QB rating is right up there, whatever. But I really hope they lose. And then you said that they can go as high as the fourth pick. Is that right?
I don't know. I did not. You must have been listening to a different show. I did not say that.
No. Well, because I thought you said between...
I think during the morning show, they were going through it. I was on the air with them, and I think Jeremy said it was between 4 and 10. I corrected him and said, I think it's between 4 and 9 as of right now, but that could change next week.
Hey. All right. Well, anyway, the point is, if they lose, they have a greater chance of getting to 4, right?
Yeah. What's the point? You just want them to lose for a better draft pick. Is that the point?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got it. That's cool. I mean, lots of people are like that. I get it. I don't think it. I think even if you pick at 8 or 9, it's a really, really good spot to pick.
Right. Okay. So my bottom line is, would they take that pick now and trade down to get a couple more
picks? Greg. They got to go through free agency. They got to see who else is picking where. Guys are going to get released. I mean, who knows right now, man?
So I'm getting.
So you're getting way ahead of yourself. Call me in April and I'll tell you, okay?
Okay. All right, so.
Thanks, Greg. Have a good holiday. I don't know, man. Sorry. I'm trying. It's Christmas. I think he was listening to something else and thought I said something. I didn't. But the bottom line is he wants them to lose for a higher draft pick. He wants them to be high, and he wants them to trade down. Okay, that's cool. We'll see what happens next week. We'll know where the Bills are picking. As of right now, 1-2. Count how many teams have worse records than them. 3-4. So the Bills have the fifth. They're tied for the fifth worst record, which means they could pick fifth. Or they also have 1, 2, 3, 4 teams they're tied with. So that's anywhere between 5 and 9 right now, it looks like. We'll find out next week, though. All that stuff is on the table next week. Let's get to our sit up and stand down. Gonna sit up. Who are we gonna sit up on this week? I do this every week. We sit up on somebody or something in the NFL. I want to go back to a team that someone brought up earlier. And yes, I talked about how Lamar Jackson's having a Josh Allen-esque type of rookie season since he's been in. But can we please now sit up at least on the entire team, the Baltimore Ravens? Aren't they doing this again? Every year the Ravens do this. They start off pretty well, and then during the middle of the season, you're like, they're really not that good. And then at the end of the year, you're like, yep, there's the Ravens playing good football again. And John Harbaugh, that's just who he is. It's what he does. They're playing really good football. They went into L.A., and they beat the Chargers 22-10 on Saturday night when the Chargers had everything riding on the line for them. The Chargers would be in the number one spot in the AFC had they won that game. They knew what was on the line, but here come the Ravens. And with the Ravens and how they play defense, they have a legitimate shot to get through the AFC. They really do. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they have good enough offense. I don't know if Lamar Jackson's good enough. I don't think he is to do that. But the Ravens, they're kind of defying conventional wisdom here. They're doing it more with defense. They can score points. They can do some nice things. But they have the number 3 overall defense in the league. They have the number 1 defense as far as yards per play allowed. They're number 3 against the run. They're number 4 against the pass. I mean, look at these numbers. Here's the Ravens' ranks, whether it's per game or per play. 1-1-3-4-4-1. Amazing. And they've given up the fewest amount of points per game in the league. Let's sit up on the Ravens. They're going to do some damage maybe in the AFC. Let's stand down on a team that, for some reason, just cannot win in primetime situations. And that is the Kansas City Chiefs, who lost another one. I'm not standing down in Kansas City, although I don't think their defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl, maybe even make it in the AFC. But I am going to stand down on them on primetime because here are their losses this year. They have 4 losses. You ready? Prime time at New England. Prime time at the Rams. Prime time at home against the Chargers. Prime time at the Seahawks. All night games. The Chiefs losing. Their defense is bad. Here's their last five games, points allowed in reverse order. 38, 29, 24, 33, 54. Offense is great. Mahomes looks great. Scoring, everything. NFL, throw it around the yard, all that stuff. Yes, sounds good. Stop somebody once in a while if you want to win. Because they don't stop anybody well enough to be able to consistently win in the playoffs. Especially if you get in situations like primetime games, good teams. That's when you're playing good teams in primetime, on the road. They lost. At home, they lost. They haven't won a primetime game all year. Four losses, all in primetime. 0-4. And who is my buddy today? Well, he's all of our buddies tonight. The big guy in red, he's my buddy. Santa. What are you going to bring me, Santa? Where is Santa right now, by the way?
Merry Christmas. Let's
go to NORAD Tracker. You ever go to NORAD Tracker? Okay, it's on Twitter, at NORAD Santa. Right now, Santa was seen, this is a up-to-the-minute, 3 minutes ago. 3 minutes ago, kids, listen. Kids, Santa was seen flying over Kyrgyzstan. If you live in Bishkek, you better get to bed, it says. Why'd they have to give me that one? Right before that, he is on schedule and delivering gifts across Thailand. Excuse me. Did you know Thailand is a Southeast Asian country and is known for tropical beaches, opulent royal palaces, ancient ruins, and temples displaying figures of Buddha? There you go. Santa was in Thailand. Now he's in Kyrgyzstan. I think that's how you say it. And he'll be here tonight in Buffalo. And Max is going to be super happy, just like a lot of other kids, when they wake up tomorrow and see what Santa brought them. I hope. My buddy is Santa. I want him to be my buddy because I want good. I want something nice tonight under the tree when I get up. Get up, tomorrow morning. Take a timeout. When we come back, 'twas the night before Buffalo Sports Christmas 2018 edition. My rhyming review of the 2018 Western New York sports scene. Brayton, can you write poetry? Are you good at it? You're good at rhyming?
Not necessarily.
No?
I'm okay, but...
Told the story before, I'll tell it again. I was in 7th grade, we had a poem to write in class, I wrote it, I really liked it, I submitted it, my teacher thought I copied it. It stuck with me to this day, makes me mad to think that. It's like, oh, where'd you get this from? Like, I wrote it. Oh, you sure? Yeah. So maybe that's why I do this every year. Maybe that's why I do it, to prove to that teacher who will remain nameless... that I could write and rhyme. I don't consider myself a poet, but I like doing this every year. I start it usually the beginning of the month, kind of work on it as the month goes on, and then we get to this point in time where I read you, ladies and gentlemen, my annual, 'Twas the Night Before Buffalo Sports Christmas. Here we go. 'Twas the night before Christmas, let there be no doubt. 1 year after the Bills, the Sabres might end their own playoff drought. They're in position after a great start to the season. Now even the fans are showing up again. They finally have a reason. Last year was so rough, the GM slammed the door against the wall. But then came the lottery and the luck of a ping pong ball. The prize possession was a Swede named Rasmus Dahlin. He's already been great, and he's only 18. But a lot more changes were needed for this team to no longer lose. So Bottrell dealt Kane to the Sharks and O'Reilly to the Blues. They added some depth on the wings and at center, while Hutton and Omark have been much better than Leonard. But one more piece was needed to really think they could be a winner. So he traded a guy named Pooh for a goal scorer named Skinner. Oh, I didn't forget about Eichel, the new Captain Jack. It looks like it's finally time for him to put this team on his back. The Bills, on the other hand, couldn't repeat their success. But that wasn't unexpected, knowing they had a salary cap mess. Year after year, they've had QBs who kept failing. So they had a bunch of draft picks and traded up for Josh Allen. It was Peterman who won the job and became the starting QB, but he wasn't up to the task. It was plain for all to see. The offensive line struggled. It's hard to be as good when you lose a guard like Richie and center Eric Wood. They traded for Kelvin, and we all said, "What a beast!" But things didn't go very well, and he finally was released. The receiving corps still needs help. High on the list to do is to get this young QB a few more studs to throw to. Brandon Bean knows he has plenty of holes to fill. Now let's see what he can do with all that 85 mil. We need to spend some time this year on those Bulls from Buffalo. Tournament wins in hoops, then football goes to a bowl. Anthony Johnson caught pass after pass from Tyree Jackson. Just one of the reasons Lance Leipold's boys dominated Maction. Nate Oates' group beat Arizona and went places they've never been, while Felicia's looking to get the ladies dancing once again. Syracuse fans didn't have to wait until Christmas Day to get the gift they wanted. Dino's not going away. In high school, the kids from West Seneca East went all the way to the Dome. It was a tough loss there, but they made everyone proud back home. The final result was better for a combined team called CSP, Clymer, Sherman, Panama. It adds up to state champs in Class D. Something a little different this year, a word about each of our hosts. Like Howard, who knows before opening day his Mets are gonna be toast. The Las Vegas Knights kept winning and just stayed on top. They eventually got to the playoffs, and Jeremy had to eat a flip-flop. All these one-goal games, get it to the garage, Bulldog screams, while Mike just tells us all about his thousands of fantasy football teams. So with that, we bid adieu to the year 2018. But start paying attention, because 2019 in Buffalo is gonna be great. Have a very happy holiday. Merry Christmas out there to everyone. Treat each other well. One Bills Live up next.